On the phone line with us for a Monday afternoon to take a look at the futures markets, Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Oh, USDA did it again, did they not?
They keep the drama flowing.
Well, this time around, they kept it flowing, and they changed things for both the corn and the soybeans. 824, that's the new ending stocks number the new ending stocks and the last grain stocks report for the year, marketing year, that is, for corn. And then soybeans at 141, both are higher than anybody had expected.
Yeah, I guess the January report's not the final report, and it's becoming more like a financial report, revision after revision or change after change. So, but no, the idea was, and Bill Gentry hit it on Commodity Week there, that there would be a bearish surprise if there was a surprise, and it's construed negative. A few more stocks around on the corn. Looks like they're going to probably lower or adjust the feed usage side of the equation to push stocks up to 824. On the bean ledger, coming in and raising harvested acres and looking at a little bit more of the yield up, fine-tuning those numbers to push the estimate up to 141. Not a burdensome amount of stocks carry into this cut new crop year, but just the idea that we had a little bit more supply around, and that the early yields being reported thus far here in the Eastern Corn Belt is better expected, put the market on some sell signals today. But today was end of the month, end of the quarter, and I think tomorrow, once we look at the volume and open interest, what took place today, that we'll see open interest went down as we saw some liquidation occur today, Todd.
Now that you've seen an 824 million bushel number, do you think you can come up with a way that that actually happened? Was there just enough harvested early on that it was used rather than what was the skimpy number of bushels that was left from last year?
Well, that's the one we're going to have to figure out here, because basically the harvest was later. Ideas are there was maybe 300 million bushels come in from new crop to satisfy old crop or in the channel there to account for that. I don't know if we'll come up with an exact number over time, but we'll see what the next WASDE report shows and sort of look forward from here, because that's basically history now. Now the key is when we look at the next few reports is to see if they keep demand strong and see if we see some adjustments in the overall yield number and harvested acres. There's still a lot more reports in front of us that could possibly be more of a market maker than what we saw today.
Anything today change your idea on the marketing plans you have in place?
Well, I wish I could, I should, I would. Looking back, it puts a little bit more emphasis on that. A lot of these plans developed during the winter need to be incorporated and stuck with. But no, we're still on target as far as looking at seasonal selling pressure to stay here going into this Columbus Day holiday. This first, second week of October was kind of our benchmark to look for some type of low and some type of reversal action in the corn and bean market. We've continued to, from a marketing point of view, guys have found some early premiums, take advantage of that. Otherwise, we've continued the theme that we've been talking about clear last winter is the put strategy, to put a floor under in case this thing seeps lower than what most people thought. And that might be the case here still. I don't know if I'd panic and sell here on this down move, that there's some creative strategy out there to put a floor in place and maybe store this crop into this winter to take advantage in the carry in the corn especially.
It will be interesting. You mentioned the Columbus Day holiday. Of course, that comes on a Monday. The Friday previous to that, though, the October crop production and the October WASDE figures are out. Could that be the turning point?
Well, hopefully it'll all come together, and that would be just textbook perfect on the timing of it. Ideas, the corn carryout could move more up towards that 200 2 billion bushel benchmark, and that's what the market would need. It'd be confirmation of some bearish news to get a low in place, and even the new crop bean carryout could come up some. That would be ideal to sort of get a turn in here, get the most bearish news in the marketplace at that time, and look for demand to come forward to take advantage of these lower prices.
Tell me just a bit about the soybean market and how it reacted during the day.
Well, it was weak from the get-go. A lot of selling the beans, buying the corn, selling the beans, buying the wheat. Like I mentioned there, you know, end of the quarter, end of the month, I think there was still some unwinding of that spread through the day. Then once the stocks report came out there at 11 o'clock, it was sort of a free fall as we broke support at 13, went down on to the long-term support at 1285, held there for an hour or so. And then as we got into the last hour trade, that sort of gave way there. But the bean market is going to be looking to see if demand comes forward here on this price break, especially from Asia, since they've seemed to be pretty well advertised that they're booked up here through January at least.
Your expectations for this afternoon's weekly crop progress report numbers?
Not a whole lot of change on crop conditions. It's hard to get improvement this time of year when you see the crop shut down. But for the most part, I would expect corn harvest to be about 17% complete as a nation. Being maybe up towards 10%. This week here, we're going to see a big jump, and I think guys are going to be fairly aggressive taking crop out ahead of this rain event here as we get in the last part of the week.
Hogs held up well against the USDA Hogs and Pigs report released Friday afternoon.
Oh, boy, yeah. Friday there, talk of being limited down, and early opening calls here this morning was 100 to 200 points lower, but they absorbed the selling pressure fairly well. I think the trade's just looking long-term in here as we look down the road that overall pork demand is going to pick up. One general observation on these hog and pig reports, I feel our days are numbered on these reports where we see just 1 or 2% change in numbers. I feel the numbers percentage change over the previous year or previous reports is going to be much broader than what we've been accustomed to.
Why do you think that'll be the case?
I believe overall demand for pork's going to pick up. And of course, I still believe strongly that this Asia buyout Smithfield is nothing but bullish. I believe that's pork security for Asia, and that a lot of pork's going to leave this country and go to Asia as we get 3-4 years down the road.
Hey, thanks so much.
Take care.
That's Kirk Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Joins us here on the Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. You can always hear it again at willag.org. That's WILLAG.ORG.